Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you with us tonight. And every night, we're going to jump right on over into Facebook Live. So we kick this thing up and get it going right on time. Tonight, question and answer session, it's going to be a good one. I want you to stick tight, stay close, and be like sitting there in awe and wonder of what God is saying to us. Amen. Are you ready? I can't hear you. Here we go. Preparing the live stream. This meeting is being live streamed. What a marvelous mystery. Live streams. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Who was and is to come. All creation sings. Praise to the King. You are my everything. And I will. Well, welcome everybody. We're glad to have you with us today. Aren't we glad to have everybody with us? Yeah. Oh, wow, you're a long ways away tonight, love.
That's I know you can't hear me all the way over there.
No, I can't hear you. Now, isn't that an interesting message? They'll be invited to join you once you go live. Am I on Facebook Live? Of course, I got a notification.
Yes, I do see you.
Yeah, just don't worry about that statement. Not quite sure what it is. Making sure we got everybody invited.
Did you get Roger?
No. Nope. There you go. Isn't that something? I have a message that says they'll be invited to join you once you go live. And it's ever been
from Facebook or Zoom?
From Facebook. From Messenger.
Well, that is bad. Because I see that you're already live.
Sunday Geyser's with us.
Hi, Sunday.
Hi, Sunday. Don't mind us while we just sit here and have a live stream educational journey of understanding and might and power and dominion and
so what was for dinner?
Yeah, so what was for dinner? Good to have you with us tonight. Very good to have you with us. Tonight is going to be an awesome, fun night. Brother Dan, we forgot to ask you what you had for dinner. And we always want to know your dinner.
Yeah.
An apple.
Well, now there's a real good dinner
an
for you.
An apple?
An apple.
That's all, Dan. You need way more than that. And then get back with us.
You have just been told, go back in the store and find something else to eat.
I have to open up my freezer.
All right, then.
There we go. I was ordered. That's all right.
I'm just following instructions. That's all. I'm sorry, Mr. Waste. I'm following instructions, and guess what?
Fall in love.
What? I don't have no food. What do you want? Oh, you want to sing? You going to sing? Yeah, somebody needs to see you. Come here. Come here. Ready? Come
here.
Well, I thought a little real fun to get up and say hi to everybody, but that's all right. Kind of got bashful there.
Mary says, you are live on Facebook. I did receive a notice and one from you also. Wow, so that's good.
That is the strangest thing I've ever seen.
Hi, Mary. Glad you're with us.
Hi, Mary. Glad you're with us. That's awesome to have you with us.
Here.
Good.
Harmony.
Harmony's here somewhere. I saw her.
Hello. How are you?
Harmony. Harmony's here.
She is in Zoom,
all right?
I'm here.
All right. What'd you have for supper?
Plant-based Western burger.
Woo!
Yum.
I'll bet you like an Impossible Whopper.
I love them.
Oh, me too.
Oh, me too.
My
weakness. Oh, that's a weakness. That's a strength. You like that.
Well, I bring them home, and I actually take off all the toppings, and I take mushrooms, and I have to have mushrooms on my burger, and I make homemade gravy with them.
Yum.
And my dad gave me some morel mushrooms the last time I ate one of those, and it brought me back to West Branch, so I was happy that he could actually go picking for them and get me some when it was in season.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
That is. And, you know, here, we have to drive all the way to Montana to find a Burger King. It's an hour drive to get to a Burger King. But we've done it probably 8-10 different times. Like, all right, that's it. It's time for a Whopper, and off we go to Montana.
I know I can't ever surprise you with DoorDash, then. Thank God.
Is that weird or what?
What?
You all of a sudden your mic went mute. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Isn't that something? We have a very wide selection of restaurants in our town. We have six Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
And we have two steakhouses. And we have Hardee's and Arby's and McDonald's and two Subways and a Little Caesars and Applebee's.
Kentucky Fried Chicken
and Qdoba's.
Oh, yeah.
And we're getting ready to have
Slim
Pickens. Oh, and we have a Chinese restaurant, B-Dubs.
Yeah.
And Dutchman's. What's the ice cream place called?
Micro?
I know. I'll buy B-Dubs, J-Dubs.
Well, in 2 weeks, I'll be going up to West Branch, so you know I'm going to be hitting G's Pizzeria while I'm up there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The ice cream fish place. By the oil company, oil change company.
Boy, I am completely drawing the blank.
They have a veggie burger there, you like? They just built one in West Branch.
Oh, Culver's.
Culver's.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, how many cities do you know that have six Mexican restaurants? It's good variety. It's a very good
over
variety.
Over here where I stay in Oakland County and Pontiac, they have a lot of them here.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of Mediterranean Indian restaurants.
Yeah, we need one of them. We don't have that, but there's a Thai restaurant. Well, we better quit talking about our lack of restaurants to eat at.
Yeah, quite a few.
Now that you stop and think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Three Amigos too. But that's one of the
Hula Girl.
And the Hula Girl, they had a Hawaiian. Oh.
They have this very nice place where I can actually go get my lamb. And I love eating it. It's a lot more leaner. So it's expensive, but it's worth the taste buds.
Honest, and that's good. Hey, Rebecca Smith is with us tonight. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Good to have you. Rebecca's probably somewhere in Lansing. That was a really good joke right there. Evening, Sunday, we didn't get what you was having for supper either.
Hi, Sunday.
I had roast chicken and salad.
Woo! I had the marvelous split pea and ham made by Sister Leanne.
Ah.
And broccoli cauliflower crunchy salad and a big old bowl of tuna barley casserole.
All righty.
We took the noodles out because that's just sugar and put barley in because that's just protein. And I'm telling you, it was absolutely delicious. And we didn't have to have all the noodle sugar because that's all a noodle is sugar.
Yeah.
And that barley, really? I don't think I'll ever want tuna casserole again with noodles.
Oh. It's, well, barley's really good for you. Yeah, I like it in my soup.
Yes, 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 yes. So we not only fasted and lost the weight, but now we're going to eat healthy. And
yeah.
I like that. I like it. I like it. I see Audrey Van Gessel's with us. Welcome, Audrey. Good to have you. Sister Rebecca, it's good to have everybody. In a couple of minutes, we're gonna go live to our go live. We're already live. We're gonna be Sister Leanne's gonna come talk now because I don't seem to be able to. We'll be with Dr. Hilton Sutton studying the body of Christ. Woo! And the bride of Christ. So I didn't get any nasty emails from anybody last night, so that's good. Everybody must have studied a little bit. It was a good thing. But we listened to it again this afternoon, trying to find it on or finding it on the DVDs. It's great teaching, and it's a great balance to help us understand who we are. And I think you're going to thoroughly enjoy it again. And then when we're finished, we'll have some more talk and communication right here. Uh-oh. Did he go away? Uh-oh. Well, I had it all set up. So everybody kind of just talk to each other for a minute while I see what happened here.
Hey, so Audrey, what did you have for dinner? And Rebecca, we haven't heard yours yet either. And what was everybody's weather like today? We had 43 degrees here, I think it was.
49 degrees.
Oh, 49 it got up to? Beautiful, beautiful day.
What all happened?
It was not very sunshiny, but it was warm.
There we go.
The wind wasn't out of freaking
so how about Michigan? Did you guys all have snow today?
Yeah.
Well, we got most of snow, rain, all freezing, all that garbage. Not a lot of snow, though. We were blessed there.
But you did.
It was cold today. It was only like 12 above, something like
Woo!
That.
That's cold.
But tomorrow's supposed to be 40.
Really?
So, well, that's a good thing because that means everything you did get will just melt, you know.
Yeah.
I remember that one year. I don't know what it had been like 2008 or 9 or somewhere in there. When it was like the end of March, we got that 18 inches of snow that was snow ice, snow ice, snow ice. And that stuff just hung around forever, man. I got an interesting notification on my phone today from the Northwest Territory. Yeah, it's going to be real cold. 40 below zero was the temperature.
Wow.
Woo! Up in the Northwest Territory, up by Alaska.
Oh, isn't it supposed to be cold there?
Yeah, it's supposed to be cold there.
Yeah.
I got a trucking website or a Facebook page that I'm part of, one of those pages. And it's called, like, through the windshield of a semi or something.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, people from all over the world are part of it. And they've seen some of the most beautiful pictures you've ever seen that some truck driver somewhere around the world took right out of his semi window. And there's a group of ladies who are truck drivers on the ice road trucking. There's a group of ladies, and they're all friends, and my goodness sakes, do they ever put some amazing pictures in of the territory they are driving through. And wow, beautiful, beautiful place up there. Out there driving around on the frozen Arctic Ocean.
That just seems really nauseating.
Hallelujah. Hey, look at that little guy. How you doing tonight?
Good. Do you mind if I do a dance? But
you,
it's not going to be that
music. Yeah? Well, you got about 3 minutes. Make it quick. Everybody pay attention.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. You put me on a spot, Pastor. You put me on a spot. You want to show you his talent? Hang on. I got to get it on.
You'll be all right. We love our kids.
Turn it down. Mm-hmm.
Man. Sujan is back with us. Welcome, sir. Good to have you.
All right, let mommy find your phone. Pause this.
Who else we got here? But
well, Rebecca had pizza, Christine had chicken, Audrey had cheesy popcorn. Yum.
Is he making it?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right. Got about another 1 minute. There you go.
Oh, you're muted, Harmony.
Yeah, we can't hear you. If she can't see us. Show the way.
Thank you.
All right. Good job.
Here you go ahead.
Good job, guys. Good job. That's good. And I like the song, too. And it's pretty cool because the song was faint enough that they won't block the video because they couldn't probably make it out.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We can't play music on here. They'll usually kick us off.
I am happy because you know where I learned that song from, don't you, Pastor?
I do. From Jesus.
Oh, that came from your church.
You learned that from Jesus.
And I took
you home. You learned
that
from Jesus.
That came from you. And I made them learn it.
That's a powerful song, too. That's one of the church classics right there. It really is. So, all right, well, we're at 7:25. Everybody about ready to get started because we got some good stuff to do tonight. I'm fired up about tonight because of the revelation that it brings to us as we're living our daily life. Because the more solid, stable that we become, the greater our lives are going to be in every single area of our life. And you know, I mean, how many times have we had anybody dance and sing for us just before we went live? I think it's pretty cool, actually. I think it's pretty cool. And it's just, hey, Tisha Jones is with us. Welcome, Tisha. Glad to have you with us. God bless you, ma'am.
Have a good night, Audrey. Love you.
All right. Bless you, Audrey. We declare over you tonight and every night that you get some good sleep.
Amen.
And the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it, even while you're sawing logs. And, you know, let's pray for Sister Donna Howie Schubeck and anybody else that's fighting some physical things out there. Sister Donna's just come through COVID. And now it's fighting the battle out of rehab and all the rest of that. And we help her by our prayers get through. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are again on a Saturday night live for the question and answer session with the community of faith, where we are establishing our faith because of you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who's alive and well on the inside of us.
Amen.
Receive it. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we bless our sister, Donna Howie Schubeck. God bless her. She's been such a valuable part of our noon prayer time, rebuilding the walls of righteousness, giving us the very verse of Scripture that proclaims it. And Father, tonight we ask you, as we have, heal our sister. And now, if you want to join me, open your eyes and point at the ground and say, all the lasting effects of COVID,
all the lasting effects of COVID,
get out of her life,
in
every area. We bind you and your effect in her life, her body, her spirit, her soul, now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And now look up and we loose life and life more abundantly into your life tonight, Sister Donna Howie Schubeck, and everyone else that's fighting severe symptoms in their life. Sister Christine Barkley, Brother Allen, he's back, these different ones. We declare no more suffering in the lives of our people because Jesus has come to give you life and life more abundantly. Functioning on the inside of you right now in Jesus' mighty name. We declare the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of our mortal bodies comes to each of us tonight. And I declare there is no more destruction of our enemy having any effect on our family because we've come to the revelation that you live on the inside of us, filled with life and filled with power. and filled with resurrection power, as Jesus said in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you said we can be bold in the day of judgment, because as you are, as Jesus is, so are we in this world.
Amen.
And thank you that we are seeing the body of Christ in a different light every single day we're here. Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing the word of God alive in us. We receive it. We ask for it. We rejoice in it. We appreciate it. We're glad for it. We thank you, Lord, that every person here is growing and developing in you. And tonight, we raise our hearts and minds out and say, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, here we go. Rise together with me. And give me my toolbar. There we go. Now rise together with me, and we'll make our opening prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, get ourselves started here tonight. I mean, how cool is that? We had singing and dancing
already
at the beginning of the program. I love it. Here we go. Render your honor. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence as we remember those who are missing in action, those who've paid the last full measure of devotion, those who carry the scars of combat in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence is in honor of every family of the fallen who will stand somewhere today in honor of their loved one's life lived and service rendered. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volley fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you, Lord.
And now, join with us as we pray our opening prayers and make our opening declarations about the United States of America. This might be different seed than what you're used to, but it's a point where all of us can be in agreement and say the same thing. And remember, we have the restraining order against our enemy. Our enemy only has a voice if the networks will give it to him. Our voice is heard all the way in heaven. You got to love how that works. Here we go. Father, we pray this prayer today as your children, as the body of Christ, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives changed forever, and that glory and honor may be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. And now, the great cloud of witnesses, we join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation. And we declare, God bless America. God bless America. As we stand in faith all across this nation, we give you glory and honor, Lord, for every patriotic event that's happening tonight, every truck driver that's put his whole life on the line to stand against the tyranny and to bring to this nation, to Canada, the freedom that we must have and the deliverance from tyranny, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, as we stand together in unity, we boldly proclaim this psalm with King David. Pray it with me. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us, brethren, to dwell together in unity. It is the precious oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. Thank you, Father, for the commanded blessing in our lives. Tell him, thank you for blessing my family and everything I put my hand to. Now we join with the international network of prayer and faith and miracles around the world. And we add our faith to theirs, and we draw faith from them, and we proclaim these word of God to be established around the world in the body of Christ. Whether there's a large meeting or a small home group, whether they're live in a big building or just live on the internet, we declare your blessing. Make a manifest presence of your will to be done. Everybody playing a game and fooling around will run and hide. Those who are in false doctrine will shut up and get out of the way. And your body will stand up and be strong in the name of Jesus. Say it with us. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Say it with me. I have a grace.
I have a grace.
And I'm using it.
And I'm using it. Amen.
And it was given to me by Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
It was given to me by Jesus.
Now, here we go. This is the fivefold ministry and the body of Christ working together. no other way for the church to work. The Catholics talk about apostolic authority all the way from Peter. Well, your apostolic authority comes through Jesus and the fivefold ministry. Here we go. Proclaim it out loud with me. Remember what we learned the other night. We're prophesying, we're boldly declaring, and we're being instructed at the same time. And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's say the last line again. That we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, here's the result of the fivefold and the body functioning alongside of each other. Verse 14. So that we will no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Isn't it awesome to be a part of the body of Christ?
Amen.
Isn't it awesome to know you're connected into a body that is connected into God's plan and his purpose? We've got apostolic permission and blessing to function. And my goodness, we have God moving in this place, woo, on a regular basis. Why? Because he assigned us to get to work, and he appointed us to it in the name of Jesus. Now, we pray now over the United States of America. Hold on just a second here. Say it with me. Revival in the executive branch.
Revival in the
judicial branch. Revival in the legislative branch. Deliver them from foolish and ignorant men, Lord. Deliver them, deliver them, deliver them, deliver them. Because not all men have faith. May the bold get bolder and the timid run and hide. May the perverse and the reprobate run from the presence of Almighty God. May the staffers leave them and say, I don't want nothing to do with this, and run from the deception, we pray, and there be great revival right in our Capitol buildings on the national level and on the state level and in the local level. And righteousness exalt this nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray over our peacemakers, past, present, and future. Bless the boot camps that are going on right now, wherever they may be around this nation. May they produce the greatest group of patriots that there has ever been, and totally sold out Americans.
Amen.
May our commanding officers not bow to this liberal, humanistic, wicked, perverse, yellow-bellied, chicken, sissy bunch of people. May they be strong and look at them and say, we'll never fire on the constitutional holders. Never once will we do that. And may the judgment of God fall on everyone who has any other point of view than to protect and defend this great Constitution. Father, every man or woman who today bears the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, or their body, in the name of Jesus, we call healing. Angels of the Lord, they have an angel that is with them. And today we bless them. PTSD, you no longer have control. Trauma, we bind your power, your effect. And we declare life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Pray the Patriot Prayer of Dedication with me. Remember, when we pray this, we're drawing a line all the way back to Abraham Lincoln when he stood and prophesied this declaration. And every time we say it, our faith hooks with their faith, and every bit of faith all the way down through history from 1863. And we hold the line as this great generation is going to be required by God to do. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King, forgive us our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. You know what's amazing? By simply following the assignment of God in our life, as a ministry led by the Holy Spirit, you and I, where'd I go? There I am. You and I have the opportunity to bring about such amazing change in this nation. And when we found, by the leadership of Almighty God, the International Network of Prayer and Faith, what an amazing blessing that has been. What an encouragement that we are to those around the world, the 1040 window, and what an inspiration they are to us. And what's so cool about it is it's not about a denomination. It's about one Lord. You don't get instructions in the body of Christ. You don't get instructions from anybody else except Jesus. He's the head of the church. One Lord. One baptism, one God and Father of us all, who's above all and in all and working through us all. What an amazing thing that was. And God's been doing this a long time before we ever caught on to what's going on, or even that there was something going on. And what an amazing thing. Now, let's give you a few announcements. I'm fired up about getting into this word tonight, because God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost have a whole lot of. Does anybody know how to count in whole lotas? God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost is going to have a whole lot of stuff to say tonight.
Amen.
And you and I are going to go to a whole new level in him, in the mighty name of Jesus. Woo! Now, Saturday night is the night when we have question and answer session. And we field any question. Last night during our session, we had a question about the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And it's set up tonight to be, well, that's our first question and answer that we'll do. And I'm going to tell you, we'll end up spending all night on this, the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And it's going to be a great study. This is going to be one of them that you're going to want to go back and study again and again and again and again and again. All right, we're all going to Detroit with Sister Francetta so that Jeff can buy us all a Shamrock Shake.
Yum. Hi, Francetta. Glad you're here.
Hey, Jeff. Just use what's the food people that bring it to your house?
What?
No.
Oh, DoorDash.
DoorDash. Jeff, just call DoorDash. Or, I mean,
yeah.
We have a McDonald's or whatever. No, no, yeah. Nobody do that. I was just joking.
Do
my
you
Lord.
Know where the Shamrock Shakes are
yeah.
from? I should want you to go
have a smoke
shake.
And so...
Rebecca, I want a Shamrock Shake.
So, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to have about 13 Shamrock Shakes here. Oh, my Lord, what will I ever do with them? Rip me if you drink one. Anyways, welcome, Francetta. It's good to see you, ma'am. God bless you. God bless Jeff as he's out there broadcasting tonight. Get your voice. Be strong, brother. Hang in there, man.
Yeah.
Now, remember, we're still doing timestamps. That's an important thing. We need to get accomplished is get all of those done. And honestly, guys, anybody can do it. And you guys are putting out some really great stuff. I've been going back in and checking on YouTube, and that's really cool. Any question you have, make sure you send it to me in a message. Say, hey, Pastor, what about this? You said that. Bring it to me, because it helps us continually put it all together. And make this work for everybody. And we're in a learning cycle with God. Talk about a learning curve, man. We've come a long ways around this curve, and God's really blessing us and giving us strength to do some great things in him. Tomorrow at noon Eastern, we'll be live here for 1 hour of faith, where we're going to be teaching a message on faith again. And everything we do here is on faith. Remember, this program is called Establishing Your Faith. The people here that's a part of it to make it work are called the community of faith. And our leader is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And they're in a confusion about our Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? He has zero confusion. And he's so excited about being our leader. He put himself inside of us. And we got the Holy Spirit because he went to heaven. And they said, God the Father, come. And by the Spirit of the living God, we got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living right inside of us, leading us from the inside out, not the top side down. And he is your Father. And it's a beautiful, marvelous thing. I was praying earlier today and said, Lord Jesus, you got to help us get this message all the way across this nation into people's lives. So they'll quit worrying about that Christianese stuff and just learn to walk with God. Because there's your answer, is that you walk with God every single day of your life. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich and adds no sorrow with his blessings that come upon you. If you haven't been with us throughout this week, last Sunday, we finished the Driven by Eternity series. That's a powerful one that teaches you about the judgment of God, the fear of the Lord, and the love of the Lord, and how they work right alongside of you. The fear of the Lord and the reality of judgment in your life keeps you in the center of a robe. The love of the Lord and the reality that his life is full of grace and mercy keeps you out of the other ditch of the world, which is lawlessness. And so thank God that he's in our life. And then throughout this week, we've been studying the olive branch, the olive tree, and the fatness of the root. It's been some very good studies. So if you've missed any of them, I encourage you to go back to YouTube and catch those messages again. It'll be a blessing to you. Now, tomorrow morning, got a brand new thing happening. Tomorrow morning in the Read the Word, we're actually going to take communion. It's been 50 days now that everybody's been with us. Looks like it's about 25 people following us there on Read the Word. And so this morning I announced that tomorrow morning we're going to have communion on Read the Word when the program's finished. And so it'll go a little bit longer. If you've been doing Read the Word, make sure this time on Sunday morning when you start it, have your communion elements ready, because we always want to make Jesus' broken body and his blood shed available for anybody that's coming and lead them into it. Man, if you've not been a part of the Read the Word, reading the Bible through chronologically, man, grab that playlist and get caught up to us. I'm serious about this. It's only taking 25 minutes a day. You can make 25 minutes in a day, turn the stupid TV off, quit watching the news, something, and make that 25 minutes, because the revelation has been absolutely marvelous every time we come together. And I've read the Bible. I've read every book of the Bible. It's never come alive like it is this time. And I don't even know what to tell you about it, but it's okay. Glory be to God. It's wonderful. How's that? Did that work? No matter who you are, if you're interested in helping us do timestamps, we'd be glad to have your help. And it's a very simple process. And thank God for good people that come and help us. Just get in touch with me. Make sure you send me a private message saying, hey, Pastor, what about this? And then we go from there. How many of you have been enjoying the worship the last couple of days? Haven't that been some amazing worship that we've had? Man, I love it. I love kicking that on 2 hours before the program starts. And we usually just let it play clear up until the program starts. There's over, I forget how many hours of music in there. There's over 100 songs, and three of them are 15 minutes long, and the one is 37 minutes long. So there's a lot of worship in there. And if you're having one of those days, man, kick it on and just let it play in the background. Read the Word is live on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. YouTube and Blog Talk Radio. We put a link in the family thread every day. So you'll always be able to, no, not in family thread, in the... And you hear the word thread, there will always be a link for the program. Now, I also have a link for the whole playlist so that you can get caught up. And let me just see if I can just get that for you. Can you get it? I got it right here. Get that link for you. That way you have the ability. Copy this link, click on it once so that it opens up, and you can start right at Genesis chapter 1. Click the big red play button, and it'll play it all the way through to where we are and truly be a blessing to you as you learn with us. You know, think about it. This is February 19th. We've already read all the book of Genesis, all the book of Job, all the book of Exodus, now we're almost halfway through Leviticus. It's pretty awesome. The thing about it, you'll never be able to say you don't get any word in this place. Because the word is mightily abundant. Wow, look at all this. He's a DoorDash. There you go. There we go, there we go, there we go. All right. Anybody got a hallelujah? Anybody got to praise the Lord? Oh, come on. Here we go. YouTube is now live. Hog Tech Radio is live. And we're going to go live here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise for the word of God. And as Dr. Sutton says, for the majestic word of God. We thank you tonight that hearts are open to receive from you and minds are open because they work so much better that way. Thank you that we have our pen and our paper in an open Bible to receive the awesome, wonderful word of God from you this evening. Thank you, Father. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We receive your help and your blessing right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Are you guys ready? I got to do a little furniture movement. And I'll be right with you.
Roger's got two hallelujahs in here. We are receiving your... Oh, Roger. You have it private message this to me right now. Go back on your... right under your name. And change it to everyone instead of just me. Do
you remember how to do that? Other than that, yes, we are seeing your messages. For your comments. The messages, yep, ready. Hallelujah. Now, tonight's lesson is about the bride of Christ. And Dr. Hilton Sutton is helping us get a great revelation about the things of God, out this very specific revelation of the body of Christ and the bride of Christ.
Yeah, because a lot of people are confused about that.
There's a lot of people that's confused and a lot of doctrine that is preached that is not sound.
Right.
So I encourage you tonight, get your pen and your paper and take some notes so you have some questions that you can ask when we get finished in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Wait, I got to get him turned up because he's soft-spoken here. We are in Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1. Go there with us.
Now get that. A loud voice of a great multitude in heaven. That multitude is made up of all of the righteous that were taken up from the earth by Jesus before the tribulation. It is made up of the great multitude of no less than 1 billion that came up as the converts of the 144,000. It is made up of the 144,000 joining us in heaven once they have successfully completed their earthly ministry assignment. That makes up this great multitude of verse 1, of chapter 19 saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Now remember, the four living creatures, those four angels at the throne of God in chapters 4 and 5 that also assisted John, and the 24 elders sitting on thrones around the throne of God from chapters 4 and 5 as well. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. Now, this could come from one of those four great angels that lead in the worship of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, same one we read about in verse 1, as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. Now, notice the magnificence and volume of the worship that is going on in heaven before the throne of God, and it will lead up to of the wedding of the Lamb. So all this volume of worship is a prelude to the wedding of the Lamb. Now, I'm satisfied, folks, that this event known as the wedding of the Lamb is not going to be a 30-minute affair or a 45-minute affair or maybe one that is really stretched out to last an hour. Most weddings only take a few minutes. I love weddings. Enjoy doing weddings and counseling with young couples prior to the ceremony. I have turned some down. Others I have urged them, don't even think about it. But the majority, what a pleasure it has been. Weddings are wonderfully beautiful, even when they're those of people that didn't have monies to spend on it. There's always something very elegant and special about that event. Well, this is the wedding of the Lamb, and his, what does it say? His wife has made herself ready. And it was, let me go on here for a moment. When I pastored in the decade of the 60s here in the city of Houston, Texas, I was privileged to pastor a magnificently gorgeous church built by a wealthy Presbyterian congregation, only one block from the Museum of Fine Arts on Montrose Boulevard. And Montrose Boulevard in the late 20s was known as Silk Stocking Row, mansion after mansion, one block off of South Main. In that same neighborhood, within only a block or two of each other, four other huge, large churches, great steeples that would reach way into the heavens, large Gothic columns out on the front porch, a magnificent structure. I was privileged to raise up a charismatic congregation in that church once the Presbyterians vacated it to move into their new modern facility. It was awesome. But because it had been designed for a wealthy congregation, it had been designed for society weddings. And so my phone would oftentimes ring, and I would be asked, we would like to have a wedding in that church. Is it possible? And my answer always, yes, but I come with it. And they would sometimes say, with our pastor, I said, oh, wonderful, I'll be pleased to work with him. If you're going to use this facility, I will be part of the process. And it worked well. We had many wonderful, beautiful, magnificent, and sometimes almost royal weddings there, and others that were, well, strange to say the least, especially when I would ask the bridesmaid for the ring that the bride-to-be had said she is going to give her beloved, to only to have the bridesmaid say to me with a very straight face when I said, and may I have the ring? And she responded, no, you may not. Very quiet. Now, I know what you're thinking out there. No, you may not. And very quietly, I asked, why not? And she responded, because I left it on your desk in the church office. See, you were thinking the same thing that I was thinking at the front. And so if I had presence of mind, I would have just slipped my ring off and used it, got it back later, and exchanged it for the other ring. But I didn't. I said to all of our family members and special guests, there will be a slight pause in this ceremony while one of you ushers goes to my office and quickly brings us the ring that the bridesmaid has left on the desk. Everybody broke out in laughter. Weddings are wonderful. Even when the flower girl and the ring bearer pick on one another all the way down the aisle and steal the show.
Amen.
I want you to know, I've just given you those illustrations in order to make a point. This wedding of the Lamb that takes place in heaven, that is introduced by the most magnificent volume of worship perhaps in all of time, oh, is going to be beyond our comprehension. No way to describe it. You just need to make up your minds. You are going to be there. And if you are there, it will be because you chose to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life, and leave the reins of your life in his hands and not yours, and serve him with obedience, so that when the catching away, or as some refer to it, the rapture, takes place, you then will be quickly brought to heaven and be there to participate in this tremendous wedding of the Lamb. Oh, wonderful. Now, it is followed by yet another event. So he says, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I've overlooked one thing in verse 8, and I'm going to come back to it. But here we are at both the wedding of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, John, these are the true sayings of God. Now, what did I leave out? Part of verse 8. It's interesting. And to her it was granted, who? The wife of the Lamb. To her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. This verse of Scripture begins to differentiate between the Lamb's wife and the saints. That the saints have adorned the Lamb's wife with their acts of righteousness. That's interesting, because we have a traditional theology that's been around longer than I can remember, that the church is the bride of Christ. And yet here is clear distinction between the saints, the righteous, the church, and the Lamb's wife. Well, let's leave that here for a moment and see if it comes up again before the book of Revelation is completed. You say, Hilton, are you indicating that the church may not be the bride of Christ? Oh, no, I'm not indicating that. The Bible is. All right? There is a difference. Don't say Hilton says, look at your Bible. Folks, I've said this again and again in these sessions. We've got to become Bible people. We must believe it as it's set forth in the Word of God and stop interweaving our own opinions and our own theology. We've got to accept it just as the book declares. So we'll come, I have reason to know that we'll come back to this with clarity as we continue on. So the angel said, these are the true sayings of God. I like that statement now. So what we're discovering here is truth. We have to decide to accept it and then expect the Lord to give us better understanding of what we have accepted. Our problem in this generation is our generation prides itself in being the generation of many intellectuals. The problem with intellectualism is that it wants the proof before it believes. And with God, believing comes first. And what I've discovered is if I will believe the Word of God, accept it without reservation, my understanding will become fruitful. But if I am like our first cousin, Thomas, you remember Thomas? And I have to see it and understand it before I will believe it, then we're trying to work contrary to how God has planned it. God wants us to trust him sufficiently that we believe what he says, even when our understanding is not fruitful. But because we believe it and accept it and act upon it, our understanding begins to come around. And so that's the case. So the angel said, these are the true sayings of God. John said, I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh, now that's an interesting statement. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's stay here for just a moment. You will remember, because of your keen interest in wanting to know everything you can about the Holy Spirit, how he operates, and the diversities of his gifts and the mannerisms of his operation, that in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapters 12 and 14, there is the, among the nine gifts of the Spirit, there's the gifts of prophecy. And you get over into the 14th chapter, and Paul says, all may prophesy. But in a church service, let it be by two, or at the most three. In one service, there may be two, or at the most three, utterances prophetically or with exhortation. No more than that. Otherwise, it's out of divine order and becomes fleshly rather than spiritual. But he then says, all may prophesy. Well, if you're waiting your turn to prophesy by the Holy Spirit in a church service, and you're in a large church, let's say 1,000, and it may be by two, at the most by three in each service, and let's say that you've got ordinarily three services a week, that would only mean that nine people could be involved. You've got 1,000 people there. You've got to wait a long time to get your turn. And we are admonished in the scripture to prefer one another, not to be hoggish about being used in the services with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let others, too, become involved. But all may prophesy. And I thought about that for a long time, many years ago. How is it, since all may prophesy, and yet we are given divine order for prophesying in the church services? And then I was studying this 19th chapter of Revelation, and I was reading it to myself out loud. I certainly recommend that when you're studying the Word of God, you will read it to yourself aloud, because your comprehension will be much better if you do. And when I read, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I realized that everyone born again of the Spirit of God that has accepted the Lord Jesus into their heart as their Savior has immediately a testimony of God's love and the marvelous transformation that has begun to take place in their life because of Jesus. When you are sharing your personal testimony with someone else, the spirit of prophecy will come upon you because you're going to be prophesying to them that God loves them as much as he has loved you, and what he has done for you, he is ready to do for them, and you are sowing the seed of the word of God into their thinking processes, and you must expect that seed to come up because the word of God does not return void. Every believer has the opportunity of taking his or her turn many times, even within a year's time, many times within that year, of sharing their personal testimony of the love of God and the wonderful salvation of our Lord with a friend or a neighbor or a relative or a casual acquaintance or someone they've worked or just are working alongside. And when you do, the spirit of prophecy will kick right in and you will be prophesying their future. And all that it takes for that future to become a reality is for them to make the choice. And you are there to encourage them to make that choice and then pray the sinner's prayer with them right there on the spot.
Come on, Doc.
Don't just invite them to church and walk away and leave them, but get them into the kingdom of God right there. And there, your responsibility does not end. It takes on a new dimension. And that is, you must see to it that you get them into the house of God and under the care of the pastors of the church so they can become disciples. Jesus said, make disciples of men. You say, Hilton, you've taught us so much from the word of God that I was really expecting to be taught the book of Revelation, and I have not deviated from the book of Revelation yet. You see, all of the major truths
Amen.
Of God's word
Amen.
Going back to Genesis are interwoven with the book of Revelation so that you see that the past record of what God has done and can do is connected to what he is going to do within the future. Well, let's go on to verse 11 of chapter 19. And I saw heaven open. Now, the wedding of the Lamb, and I'm satisfied it's going to be quite an event up there, and the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, are we going to eat real food at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Of course we are. You know God's not going to take anything so good as eating. Think about it. In his glorified body, Jesus ate the same kind of foods he had eaten prior to his crucifixion. If you'll study the Gospels carefully, you'll discover that during that 40-day period from his resurrection and glorification until his ascension, he even cooked for the disciples. Yes, we will eat real food at the wedding of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Angels do.
Hallelujah.
God has to feed them. That food has to be grown and processed and prepared in heaven for their consumption. Call it manna. Remember, God fed the children of Israel on manna, which other biblical references called angels' food, for 40 years. And as long as they ate that kind of food, right diet, there was no sickness among them at all. Yes, we are going to be at the banquet of the wedding of the Lamb. It is going to be wonderful. I expect your taste buds to just shout hallelujah with every bite. Now let's go back to chapter 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, I said, chapter 11, verse 11 of chapter 19. I get excited. If you haven't noticed that already, this book turns me on something fierce. As many years as I've been in it and working with it and praying over it and teaching it and preaching it, it never fails to get me just as excited the next time as it has before. Now, I saw heaven open. So the wedding of the Lamb, marriage of the Lamb, those events in heaven are finished. And the door of heaven opens. And behold, a white horse. Now, we had a white horse in chapter 6. Notice the difference between it and this one. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. Oh, this is interesting. He judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. Remember, the rider of the white horse in chapter 6 didn't have a crown. One had to be given to him. He had a name that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
Woo!
We know this to be Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the armies in heaven, that's you and I, all the redeemed up there, the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, these verses 11, 12, 13, and 14 are describing the beginning of the return of the great processional of Jesus and all of his saints back to the earth to begin to rule for 1,000 years. But before they can begin to rule for 1,000 years, the battle of Armageddon must take place. So get ready. Next session, the battle of Armageddon.
If you would like to find out about other teaching material,
just makes you want to study the book of Revelation all over again, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, let me make sure I got the right one. So that was our first close. There we go. There we go. 14. And what's the number on this one? Oh, 2:40. All right, to begin. All right. All right, everybody, just hang on. If you got a question, type it in. Sister Leanne's watching. I'm not watching too much, but there we go. There we go.
And we have entered eternity. The time, if you want to use that word, it really doesn't fit because eternity is timeless. But the period of the new heavens, new earth, and new Jerusalem. And we're being introduced to it as we start reading with the very first verse. So how absolutely all-encompassing is this majestically wonderful book of Revelation, with Jesus as the central character all the way through. Much angelology and God's plan unfolding with absolute perfection, and Satan and his selected ones undergoing consistent defeat until all who follow him are forever in the lake of fire, never again for there to be one like him. So in the verses that we've read thus far, in chapter 21, We are part of the new heavens and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And it went on then to describe God with us all, with both those that are in glorified bodies and all of the mortals that will be placed back upon the earth to live as Adam and Eve were to have lived to start with, in mortal bodies for all eternity, in divine fellowship with the Father every day. Also, in mortal bodies for all eternity, the remnant of Israel that God used to restore the nation of Israel completely during the millennium, for all eternity on the earth, there is going to be a nation of Israel made up of descendants from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in mortal bodies, if you please, because the plan of God was, as God revealed it to Abram, that he wanted to make of him a great nation that would be a blessing to all the nations. So all of the mortals that are going to be living forever will be developing their nations and their lands, and among them will be the nation of Israel, a blessing to all of them, just as God originally planned. So God doesn't throw away his plans simply because Satan tampered with them. He will still have mortals living forever, walking and talking with him, and he will have the nation of Israel living forever, being a and mortals being a blessing to all the other nations, and you and I will be here in our glorified bodies,
hallelujah,
continuing to reign on the earth,
hallelujah,
as kings and priests among the mortals.
Hallelujah.
It's wonderful that the entire plan of God will be unfolding for all eternity, and we will be part of it. Now remember, Jesus will still be ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of the statement in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning with verse 6, that says, of his kingdom there will be no end. And because of the statement that's found in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, again, that of his kingdom it shall stand forever. And there are several other verses besides those two that confirm the same truth. So the Lord Jesus will be king forever. God is going to be, I'm sure that he has never known defeat. He has never known a sorrow, grieved, perhaps over the creation that reacts wrongly toward him at times. But how pleasant, how thrilled, how fulfilled will our God be when he sees all of his plan working with longevity through the millennium with absolute perfection, as he intended, because all of those who could have ever caused discontent or division or rebellion will have all been removed and are in the lake of fire. Verse 8 of chapter 21. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerers, that's idolaters, and those trafficking in drugs. Here's that word again that's used in chapter 9. This is the third time it's used. Sorcery, meaning enchantments with drugs. All idolaters and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there'll never be any of these categories on the new earth ever again. you don't want to be found listed among these categories.
Amen.
The cowardly, unbelieving,
amen,
abominable,
amen,
murderous, sexually immoral, sorcerer, one profiting in witchcraft and drugs, idolatrous, worshiping something or someone more than God, and all liars. Notice this category. All liars,
wow,
shall have their part in the lake of fire,
wow,
which in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But it's a state of forever dying. Then one of the seven angels, John says, who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, now remember, John is in heaven by Holy Spirit vision and permitted to observe all of the future and have all of the experiences that he has related to us. The angel came and talked to him, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Recall what we read in in chapter 19 and verse 8. And to her, the Lamb's wife was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And as I pointed out, differentiating between the wife and the saints in this reference. And then we came to chapter 21 and verse 3, and it is clearly stated that the New Jerusalem, verse 2, and the New Jerusalem is coming down from God as a bride prepared for her husband. And then we get to verse 9, and this angel is saying to John, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now remember, John is like you and I, a member of the body of Christ, born again of the Spirit of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, called by God. He will be in his glorified body, and he's being told, I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And John's a part of the church. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And then he begins to describe the New Jerusalem. Her light was like a precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, let's pause here before we finish the remainder of the book of Revelation and consider some biblical truth. I'm aware that our traditional theology has long declared that the church is the bride of Christ. Yet, you cannot find one verse of scripture in the Bible that makes that statement. That is an assumption based on scripture taken out of context. Let me say this one more time so I make sure you have heard me and understand it. There is not a single verse of scripture in the Bible that indicates that the church is the bride of Christ. This is an assumption based on a few scripture taken totally out of context. So we must put all of the few scriptures, and there are not that many, that have been used out of context that have allowed we preachers and others to say that the church is the bride of Christ. Let's put them back in context. And when we do, and allow them to be part of the statement that is being made in the verses above and those that follow, what we discover is that the verses we have taken out of context and used them to teach that the church is the bride of Christ literally are teaching us relationship, not identity. Taking them out of context, we have used them to teach identity, and we have picked the wrong identity. Putting them back into context and allowing them to teach us properly, they're not teaching us our identity. They're teaching us proper relationship to our Lord Jesus. And one of the most wonderful references of all that has been taken out of context and used by those that have taught that the church is the bride of Christ comes from the writings of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. And so let me begin reading with verse 22. And let me say to all of you ladies that are observing and hearing, don't get bent out of shape. Please, I pray you have not come under the influence of the women's movement in our nation. The women's movement in our nation is out of divine order, and you don't want to be part of it. Even you don't even want to adopt its ideas and its attitudes. They are out of divine order, and you will see that from the Word. I believe you to be women of God, and so you're women of the Word as well. Verse 22 of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Notice the word submit, please. For the husband is the head of the wife. This is not male chauvinism. This is the Word of God. Now, if this puts pressure on someone, then they're going to have to make a choice. Do I believe and accept and live by the Word, or am I caught up in a worldly, satanic philosophy? So let me read on. For the husband is the head of the wife. Also, Christ is the head of the church. Now, throughout the epistles of Paul, the church is always identified as his body. The body of Christ and church are interchangeable identities. So our identity is we are the body of Christ, of which he is the head. We are the church, of which Christ is the head. I've often said, if the head be he, the body must also be he. Let's continue to read. As also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, this is divine order. This has nothing to do with equality. We are equal. That's not the issue. The world has made it an issue. Satan has made it an issue, but not God. But what God is showing us through the writings of Paul was divine order, right relationship, one with the other. Husbands, now here he is talking now to the husbands. So men, listen up. Husbands, love your wives. To what degree? As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for the church. Most of your translations will say for her. That is improper translation. It should read, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the word, because we have to be as pure and holy as our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father, and it takes the washing of the water of the word to accomplish that holiness and purity, that he, Jesus, might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that the church should be holy and without blemish. Oh, this is awesome. What is Paul teaching? Is he teaching the church, the bride of Christ? No, not at all by any stretch of the imagination. He is teaching us proper divine order and relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's using the illustration of husband and wife, proper relationship of husband and wife to illustrate our relationship with Jesus and not teaching us identity. He has already taught us our identity throughout his epistles, and that is we are the body of Christ, and that does not make us the bride. It makes us to be part of the bridegroom. Therefore, when we get to the book of Revelation and we find it so clearly stated as we have this time that the New Jerusalem is the bride. I said, well, I don't understand that. How could a city be a bride? We're missing it altogether. We're letting the word city as we understand it pitch us a curve and we're striking out. There is no city on this earth today, not even the city of Jerusalem in Israel, that we can use in this example for the New Jerusalem. But when the word city causes us to think of New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Houston, Atlanta, New Orleans, St. Louis, Phoenix, you just begin to name them, Seattle, and there's nothing that by which you can compare the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is a very special creation of God about which everything in it is the portrayal of life to the zenith. It is living in every aspect. And it is declared by the word of God, whether you understand it or not, to be the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife. Now, if you don't want to accept that, be careful lest you make a choice to lay aside what the scriptures are actually saying and go on with your own personal opinion. That's dangerous for this reason.
Wow,
now, this at the moment has nothing to do with the salvation of your soul, but if you can continue to walk disbelieving something that the scripture says, there is always that little opening there for Satan after a while to cause you to begin to disbelieve something else that the scripture says, and later disbelieve something else that the scripture says. So I choose to accept what the word of God has to say.
Amen.
Was I startled the first time I read Revelation chapter 21? Did it startle me? Yes, because I had grown up being taught, and so it was in the Bible college, that the church was the bride of Christ. Now I'm discovering that the church is not the bride of Christ. It is the New Jerusalem, and this is clearly stated, and it is not a symbol. It is not a figure of speech. It is literally set in that manner. So we must then bring ourselves to say, yes, I accept the word of God. Whether my understanding is fruitful or not, I believe the word. And when we will sincerely make that choice, then the Holy Spirit helps them understand the teachings of the Apostle Paul in showing us the difference between identity and relationship. Our identity, we are the body of Christ, of which he is the head, which identifies us with the bridegroom, not the bride. And therefore, we can accept a relationship with him that is as close and beautiful as that of husband and wife, though we are not his wife because the New Jerusalem is. Now, you say, well, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to change my theology. but I still don't know that I fully understand it. It's wonderful that you're willing to accept exactly what is in the scripture, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you gradually bring have understanding. But you're going to see, when we enter the city, New Jerusalem, in heaven, after the great white throne judgment, with God and Jesus having moved their thrones into the New Jerusalem, and together we will descend out of heaven to rest upon the new earth, all of those with glorified bodies will be in that company, and all of the mortals will be put down on the new earth to carry out their assignments there. It's going to be absolutely the epitome of perfection from that time on, something that is difficult for us to even imagine because we've never experienced it, nor will we in this life. So let's pick up now where we left off in chapter 21, beginning again with verse 9. One of the angels said, come, John, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, and then begins to describe the New Jerusalem. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. She had a great and high wall with 12 gates, each and 12 angels at the gates. So at each gate there is a special angel, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So here is the New Jerusalem, and it has a high wall around the city. There are 12 gates, 3 gates on each of the 4 sides. We're going to see that it's a cube as we keep on reading. 3 gates on each of the 4 sides. One of the names of the 12 tribes of Israel over each of the gates. An angel standing by the gate. 3 gates on the east. 3 gates on the north. 3 gates on the south. And 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So the names of the tribes of Israel over the gates, and the wall and the city sits on a foundation in which all of the names, 12 foundations, and the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb on each of those foundations. John.
All right. Here we go. Everybody just pause for a minute here.
And here we are.
Lights. Camera, action. You run that volume back down so the next time we turn it on, we're not blasted. And we have a sheet of paper too. Thank you very much. All right, wasn't that just amazing? I'm telling you, every time I hear this man of God begin to share the word like that, your heart is just inspired to believe. It's just inspired to believe the holy word of God. And, you know, I every time I hear him teach this, I am more and more and more and more and more and more and more able to see that You got to study this book.
Yeah, and that's what Mary says, gets a little clearer each time you listen to it. And
yeah.
That's so true.
Yep, it does. And that's why the Word of God is the most powerful force in your life. It just is. You can't live your life anymore just by what somebody ever taught you as a doctrine. You don't just look at everybody and say, well, I don't know whether I can trust your doctrine anymore. You always take the doctrine to the word of God, you know, and then just see what God's doing here. Oh, ran out of juice. All right. I'll be all right. But I want to go back and hit some of the highlights on this because it was so powerful what he was saying. There, we got everything back up to speed now. Now, I really like how he lays that out about the identity. Think about this. We are part of the groom, not of the body. And it's very interesting that, I don't know, 2 months ago, I guess, probably, maybe 3 months ago, the Holy Spirit began to really speak to me that I needed to get Ephesians chapter 4 and get it up in front of our eyes so that we could speak it and 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 speak it. Because we've got to be accurate about the body of Christ. God is not confused about the body of Christ. Jesus is not confused about the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is not confused about the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't cause confusion or division in the body of Jesus. Amen. Think about it. The Holy Spirit is never going to function in a way on this earth to create confusion in the body of Jesus, the second part of the Trinity. He's not going to do it. I mean, when, all of a sudden when you start thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute, hold on. And see, that's why so many people are like, how can there be so many different gods? The Baptist God, the Methodist God, the Catholic God. There's not. There's only one God. Amen. There's only one Father, one faith. There's only one baptism. And when we get ourselves solid in this word, then there is nothing that can shake us in any sense of the word. Now, let me just go through a couple of my statements that I wrote. I took a note when he was there. Our problem is many people are intellectual, where they think that seeing comes first, not believing. No, believing always comes first. You see it in the Bible and you're like, all right, I believe that. Wow, I don't know how, but I'm going to believe it because I can see it in the Bible. And I saw it in more than one place. Okay, so now we're going to do it. But I love how he said that. Even though my understanding isn't fruitful, when I begin to believe, as I believe, my understanding becomes abundantly fruitful as I continue to follow on after Christ. You know, one of the things that the spirit of division has done in the church is to cause everybody to question everything, but not question it with your Bible and a pen and a pad of paper and say, what does the Bible actually say? They're just, the spirit of division has taught people to be skeptical and to be scorners and to be mockers. And like Brother John Bevere said, anybody with two eyes and a carnal brain can be skeptical. Anyone. Two eyes and a carnal brain will not only help you be skeptical, but you'll be a scorner and you'll be a mocker and you'll always be criticizing. Why? Because you see other people entering into the blessings of God. You're not, and that person's not willing to pay the price. So since they're not willing to pay the price to enter into wisdom, then they begin to mock those who are paying the price to enter into more and more and greater wisdom in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, watch this. So it's very easy to see we are the body of Christ. And I want to go grab those verses again. All right. So real quick, what time is it? 9 o'clock, 8, 10 o'clock. We got Let's grab three very, four very specific verses about the body of Christ where it actually says the phrase, the body of Christ, and right in the Bible. Now, I love this about going, oh, watch this. Hold on. I'll just do it so everybody can see. I keep forgetting I can do this. Brother Dan went in and he told me the other night that he had downloaded the new eSword for Android and that it worked and cost $3, but it's very much worth that and you can do it. Now, watch. I'll show you this again. You can't see that, but I can't see my toolbar. So what I did, if you look up at the top here, hold on. This is in my eSword. Can you see my mouse? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. So in this text box right here, I typed the body of Christ. And then underneath of that, it says, gives me an option to do all words, any words, or the blue line says phrase. So I clicked it at a phrase. And it showed me that as a phrase, what's going on here? Hold on. That as a phrase, I must have got it too big. Anyways, as a phrase, there's four verses. The first verse is Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Can you see that?
Yeah.
All right. So let's read it. This is one of the phrases that says the actual words, the body of Christ. Watch. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ that you may be married to another. Uh-oh. There's the word. To him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Look at this one. That's the second verse. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Speaking about Jesus' body was broken for you and I that we may be made whole. Let's grab the next verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now, I'm going to open up to this one. Let's go to verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit, will never create a schism. He never will. Every church split you ever saw is a schism. And they weren't created by Jesus. Just letting everybody look. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all works of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Uh-oh. He just said it. right there in front of God and everybody. Oh, wait, he is God. Do all interpret? No. Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more actual way, and we know chapter 13 is the love chapter. Now let's deal with this about the body of Christ. Say it with me. I am the body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Amen.
Are you ready? Let's add another statement to it from what we learned tonight. And my righteous acts adorn the New Jerusalem. Listen, I know that this is putting some thoughts way out there. What is it doing? It's expanding your mind to actually look at the Bible and say, wow, would you look at this? Because everything Dr. Sun just said, but it's all in the Bible. Everything we just read is all in the Bible. And we've got to take this and we've got to begin to say, wait a minute. I really want to know the word of God and how it is. So let's go back to verse 25 and look at what it says. Let's grab...
Can you clarify that? Which man?
Yeah, let's go back. Let's do this and this will clarify it. Let's go back to verse 14. 12. Let's go clear back to 12. 12, 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12. Somebody help us get a reference in there. And then we're going to come back up to where we were just at, and you'll see this. I love this. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is the body. We are all members of that body. Now watch. Hold your finger there real quick and look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. I want you to see it in another place. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. It's only going to take a few minutes, but I mean, it's Saturday night. You aren't even getting your red dress baby on yet because it's not even late. All right, maybe you were. Verse 22, and he put all things under his feet. God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. God said, Jesus, this is your place. And he put him as the head of the body. Who is the body of the body of Christ? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church, that's you and I. The ecclesia, that's you and I. That's the Greek word for church. The church is the body of Christ, the fullness of him on this earth. Jesus said, I got to go to heaven. And when I do, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And you need me to go to heaven and send you this comforter. So when he went to heaven, he took the fivefold ministry gift that was in him on the earth and put them in all these men in the fivefold ministry, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and the apostle. That's who Jesus was on this earth. You and I, who are not those, we're the body. Every man who's a fivefold is also the body because we're still the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, we're the body. And it says it right there, that we're the fullness of the body. And that's why we added that verse in our opening confessional prayer that says, and we will all become the fullness of God. Back to 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, we were also baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Well, what set of verses does that match? That matches Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 12 and turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. All brothers and sisters, follow me. Please follow this. Shut off all the distractions and follow this right now. You can see this. Verse 4, Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. When you come back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you read 13 and 14, it says the exact same words. Watch. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. In fact, the body is not one member, but many members. Just like our body has 208 bones, is that right? 206, 208. Welcome, Sunday. Now watch. I'm in 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were a hearing, where would be the smelling? Slow down. Hit verse 18 and just stay there. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he, God, pleased. Say it. I am in the body. Right where God wants. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12 through what we're going on down. I was reading verses 14, 15, 16. With me? Got it? All right. I'm in verse 18 now. 12, 18. I'm getting better at this. I will name my verses better and more slowly. I'm in 1 Corinthians 12, 18. And I have a very wonderful, patient wife. She's never thrown anything at me yet. Well, she has thrown a few looks before, but they were always loving. Verse 18. God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he, notice that he is capitalized, please. I'm encouraging you, circle those capital he's and him, because those are referring to God. Now, when we go from this set of verses back to Ephesians chapter 1 again, just keep going with me. Keep something in Ephesians 1, even at, or 1 Corinthians 12, even if it's your finger. Now go back to Ephesians 1 and go to verses 22 again. Amen, Mary. I am in the body where God wants me. Let me send you something to toss. Now, look at what verse 22 says. And he put all things, he God, the Father, his feet, Jesus' feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 12 says, God places you and I in the body where he wants us. Ephesians 1:22 said, God placed Jesus in the body, right where God wanted Jesus to be. Isn't that just a big old wow? The psalmist said of Jesus the Lord that the earth is his footstool. Somebody look that verse up and throw the reference in. What? God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is his body. And we are the fullness of him on this earth. Now, make sure you got your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Make sure you hold your finger in Ephesians chapter 4. And go with me to 1 John chapter 4. Watch this. Isn't this an awesome study? I'm telling you right now, this is such an awesome study. This awesome study, when you start getting into it and you begin to realize who you are in God, all of a sudden, the Word of God begins to take on a whole new meaning, and you begin to say, look at what our God is doing right here, right here, right here. Now, I just searched, if you watch up here on the top of my screen, I just searched, let's get over here, mouse, there it is. I just searched the words, the body. I made it into a phrase, and it's in the New Testament I'm searching. And so there are 58 times in the New Testament the state the body is used. Okay? Now, many of them is talking about the human body or the body of Jesus and whatever. And it wasn't used exactly as the body of Christ. But watch this. There's many references here that you and I can begin to say, wow, do I ever have to pay attention to a few things here? I am the body of Christ. Now, I'm in 1 John 4, 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is right now, so are we right now in this world. Why can you have boldness in judgment? It's because as Jesus is functioning right now, you and I get to function exactly like he functions.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because we are his body on this earth. I would get up and run, but I got too many cords and wires everywhere, and I might just fall down, and we don't need that going on. See, all of a sudden, you and I, we got to look at our life and say, wow, I got to get things in order here. Because I can't be out of my place in the body. It doesn't matter what you or anybody else thinks. Once you find your place in the body, you stay there. I've told you guys for many times now. I have literally been in Dr. Barclay's church now since 1993, which is going on 30 years next year. So I'm at 29 years I've been in that church. The strength that that puts inside of me to have one pastor for 29 years and he being a man of God that whole time and fight the storms of life, watch him fight and win, watch him use his faith and win. The verse in Hebrews says that you and I should pattern our life after those who show us by faith and patience, they inherit the promise. I mean, he tells the story when they were building their brand new building, which was, that would have been in the early 90s, that they got some steel up, they got some walls up, and the money quit. And he's like, ah, what are we going to do? And it's just stopped. Everything just stopped. And he's like, my goodness. And they were binding the devil. They were loosing angels, all that kind of stuff. And one day he said, Lord, how do I get this thing rolling? I got to get this moving. You know, winter's coming. We need it inside. And so, you know what? You know what the Holy Spirit told him to do? He said, take how much ever money you got in the building fund. Go down to the hardware store. And buy it all in nails. So he goes down, he buys all these nails, he comes back, and he's like, what am I doing now? He's just obeying. He said, get the men to all come for a work party. They all showed up with their hammers. They said, what are we doing? He gave them all a belt of nails and said, wherever you find a nail, put another one right beside it, and as you drive the nail in, just declare, this building is paid for in Jesus' mighty name. And they re-nailed that building that of everything that was done. And I don't remember that service or the next one real close. A man showed up after church on Sunday morning and said, hi, Dr. Barclay, I'm so-and-so. And he said, I'm thinking, I really got to go, buddy. I really, really, really got to go. And he was in a hurry to get to another church for an afternoon meeting. And he's like, can I talk to you for just a second? And he's like, yes, yes, go ahead, please talk. And he's like, what's this guy want? And you know what the man said? He said, I erect steel for a business. And God has sent me here to build your church. And pastor said, I'm no longer in a hurry. Oh, y'all, please come back to the back room with me if and you would. No, see, it's the body of Christ. And we're members in particular. As Jesus is right now on this earth, as he is right now, as he is on that throne, so are we in this earth. And that's what gives us the boldness that we get to have anytime judgment comes toward us. Why? We know who we are. We know where we are. We know what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. All of a sudden, it gives you a power. It gives you an authority in the realm of the spirit once you know who you are in Jesus. And you literally come to the realization, when Jesus tells me to minister to somebody, that's a man. I'm not on earth, son. You are. Go help that person. And you become his hands. And you become his feet. And now you're his. Now what are we? We are his body on this earth. Kind of makes it tough to be the body and the bride. Here's one of the things that you got to learn in this doctrine. The bride sits around and looks pretty. Well, it's not who we are. We're the groom. We're on the other side. What is the bride? She's beautiful. And she's coming down out of heaven, glorious in her deal. And our righteous acts are what clothe her. And the married woman bestow all kinds of gifts upon her once they were betrothed. Why? Wants her to look beautiful. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And the members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But look at this statement. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. My body is composed by God, and the body of Christ is composed by God. He places everyone in the body just like he wills. One example of righteous act, a righteous act is you coming here and supporting what we do here. That's a righteous act. Like you, Mary, you've been around here for a long time. And you come back here and you ask questions and you say amen and you say prayers for us. That is a righteous act. Those righteous acts helping us get this work done, they're not only righteous acts that will adorn the holy city, but they're also righteous acts that will reap you a hundredfold return, fill your pockets to help us preach, to go preach and bless people. Woo!
Anytime you do anything, please, you forget it's a righteous act. You helping a young man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a right. Remember what Jesus said? Inasmuch as you've done this to one of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. See, people like, well, Pastor, can you give us all the righteous acts so we know what to do for a week? No, just walk with God. Just walk with God. When you walk with God, you will fulfill your mission on this earth. And then you just show up here. All of you that's helping me with these timestamps, you are doing righteous acts that will adorn the body, the New Jerusalem coming down. And that adorns this body to make us look good.
Every time you pray for somebody that comes on the
prayer. Every time you pray. Like last night, Julian was asking for prayer. And some of you went over there and said a prayer for them. Your love one to another. Yes, 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 yes. When we are bound in religion, we have a list of do's and don'ts. You always are humble and lowly and poor and poverty stricken. Just be humble, would you? And then they start acting stupid, ignorant, and dumb. Well, there ain't no rules of list of rules. Walk with God. He will convict you if you start to go wrong. And as long as you build that conviction and you welcome it, you will never go wrong. When you begin to shut down your ears. No, 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 no. I can't hear you because you want to fulfill the lust of your flesh. You begin to sear your conscience. You begin to harden your heart. And a hard heart and a seared conscience is what caused all the children of Israel to die in the wilderness. Because they began to say, no, 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 no. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Well, but Dr. Sutton just said, yeah, all liars have their place in the lake of fire. That'll wake you up. That'll make you go, watch out what we do. I want you to see something. Let's go over here to this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, all I did was click on that highlighted green number there in that search, and it took me over here to that chapter. Watch this. This is flee sexual morality. This is pretty interesting. Yeah, but I want you to see this from the point of view of the body of Christ. Now watch what I just saw this. Chapter 6, verse 12, and that runs through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 through 20. Watch this. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Isn't this something? All of a sudden, it's like, you know, the whole, don't you be looking or touching that side of the house. Watch. Verse 14, and God raised up the Lord. He will also raise us up by his power. Why? We're his body. As soon as you're born again, you're in the body. Now keep going. And God both raised, 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Now, why you, I'm letting this soak in. Because I'm not, this right now, what I'm saying is not just about sexual immorality. Everybody here knows, don't be sexually immoral. But this is putting a really good picture on you and I. That how we live is a reflection of what Jesus is once we're the body of Christ. Does that make sense? You are the example of the body. You are. I am. Watch this. Nobody's going to say, make Jesus lay with a harlot. Nobody will say that. But people do that in their own lives. Verse 16. Do you not know that he who is joined to the harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. This is getting really good, isn't it? Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. You ready? The body of Christ. This is serious, isn't it? And isn't it something that the number one attack of Baal today is to get every young person just acting like a bunch of wild heathens, and we ain't nothing but just the two pieces of meat slapping together. That's what every sitcom's trying to show you. That's what the whole homosexual agenda is. It don't matter. We're just a bunch of animals out here. It don't matter how many times you've been with anybody. Are you kidding me? Look what it says. Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, Paul here is dealing with the Corinthian church because they had a really large group of loose members of the congregation, and he was having to set things in order. All right? And so that's what he's dealing with. But when I saw this on that search a minute ago, I'm like, wow, there's a perfect example of it. When you and I begin to entertain false doctrine, You're adding in to the body of Christ confusion. And you can't do that. See, all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, this is really serious. I am the body of Christ. What's the next thing you'll say? Pastor, where was those videos you had of righteousness? I got to figure out what this revelation is about righteousness. Because here's the thing, guys. Once you come to that revelation that the righteousness of God has been handed to you, given to you willingly and freely, all of Jesus' righteousness, there, and you realize that's a seed. It's now, you are the righteousness by the very seed of God on the inside of you. You'd be like, there ain't no way I'm ever going anywhere outside of what is me being the temple of the Holy Ghost, of whose temple I am. And you might look at your life and say, Pastor, I lived a very bad life and I did whatever. The bottom line is, did you come to Jesus? Did you receive the blood? Did you let him wash your sins and put him into the sea of his forgetfulness? Or are you continually reminding him of how bad you are? And then wondering why the enemy fights you with fiery darts about how bad you used to be, because he hears you talking to God about how bad you are when God's like, it's gone. Why are we talking about this?
Amen.
This is really good, isn't it? You got any questions anywhere?
Yeah, Mary says, how in the name of Jesus can you be righteous with someone that makes fun of your beliefs in God if they are rude?
Stay away from them. Yeah. Don't go around them. Yeah. How do you do that with somebody who's makes fun of you, your beliefs in God, and they're rude? Don't talk to them about God. Don't go around them. Don't be around them. Stay away from them. Hey, this is it's one of the most difficult parts of our Christian life for some people. It really isn't difficult if you let God lead you. If you get concerned about you are the one that's got to lead everybody to Jesus and you become your own Holy Spirit for other people, then you're going to find yourself continually frustrated by this fact. But everybody has their own choice. You don't get to make anybody go to heaven. None of us do. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much you want them to find God, it doesn't matter. You cannot make anyone go and chase God. I know your heart's desire is for them to find God. I know I have people like that in my life. I want them to walk with God. I want them to do what's right. But guys, it doesn't matter how much you want them to do right. They continually show you that they're going to do you and everybody else wrong with their actions. Leave them alone.
Yeah, because the Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence. So you can't leave yourself open and take the chance of somebody beating you down like that and causing you to get in under the devil's oppression.
And if you didn't hear, the Bible says guard your own heart, because out of your heart flows the issue of your life. That's right. Rebecca, you stay away from disrespectful people. And wait now. Everybody hang on. What if they're my childhood friends or my own family? It doesn't matter. What are you going to do? Let them continually rot your soul and cause you to be able to feel vexed every time you get around them?
Yeah.
Nah. Don't even talk to those people, Mary. You know who you are. Stay away from them. Don't be where they are. Don't be where they are. And just remember, I'm going to give everybody that out. You ready? They show up at the door, just tell them, I got to hit the bathroom. Just stay right there in the front step. I'll be right back. And leave them there. Or look them in the face and say, I don't like you. I know some people you can't say that to. If it's your boss, you can't say it to them. And what you got to do is just find a way to get away from those people. But people that's just your friends on Facebook and you grew up with and all that, you got to let them go. If they're proven to go away from God and they're not proven to chase God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, they will only continue to hand you deception. Why continually put yourself in a place of deception?
And to cause you disrespect, child of the Most High God, do not let anyone disrespect
you. You are a child of the Most High God. Wait, you ready? You are the very body of Christ on this earth. You can't do that, Mary, but you can always go to the bathroom. Keep your eye on your dad. I got to hit the John. That's what my grandma would have said. All of a sudden, what we got to get a revelation of is, wow, I want my family. Remember, some of you saw that prayer I sent you yesterday to pray. That was a good prayer. Out of Jeremiah and Acts chapter 1. Pray them over them. And anoint yourself with oil when they see them show up and just say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I will be found loving this person. But right now, I'm just going to run to the bathroom. Never go back to the door. Amen, Rebecca. Look at him and say, you're not welcome here. What? You got a mouth that don't stop, and I don't appreciate it. You're not welcome here. See, the worst people in your life are those that are confused spiritually. And they're always causing division in the body. Stay away from them. They're clouds without rain. That's what Jude said. They're late autumn feast without any harvest in it. And they're always causing confusion in the body. And they may use the name of Jesus and all the rest of it, but when people cause confusion in the body, and they do it publicly, Paul said, from such turn away. Go the other way. And, Pastor, I just want them to get saved. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you could just experience all my experiences of wasted days and wasted months and wasted years trying to make somebody serve God that doesn't want to, and they love their deception and they're going to go be in it, then you end up saying, I ain't wasting my time on another person that don't want God. If you're going to be in my face about how hard I'm chasing God, you got a problem. Don't do that. I'm chasing God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. My neighbor as myself. I will never do any of you wrong. I end up saying a lot of words here. And I can tell you right now, all my words aren't perfect every time I'm trying to get them out. Most times, we just all laugh at them. But I might say things inside out. You might hear one of these teachings say, wow, Pastor, you said that backwards. Well, I did. But it's not because I'm backwards in my doctrine.
Right.
Look at my doctrine for the whole doctrine, what it is, and realize something popped up on my screen, the dog bite, the cat called me, something. And whoops, I didn't say what I needed to say. Because I'm never going to lead you astray, and I'm never going to do you wrong. Because I'm the body of Jesus Christ. I'm his body. I have to be a perfect representation of him. I want you to see this. On judgment day, when we stand before Jesus and the fire of God hits our works, nobody else will be standing with you. People who have chased false doctrine, knew they were chasing it, but loved the attention in it, they're not going to make Jesus throne. They're not going to make Jesus judgment. They're going to go to the white throne and be cast into outer darkness, having loved the deception and chased it. You might say, Pastor, I don't want those people to go to hell. Well, there's a problem with that because they love deception and they're going to chase it. And you can't make them stop. You can't make them stop. The only thing you can do is pray. And the closer they are to you or they have been to you, the more you need to make a line, make it severe, close it up, and then just do your part to pray for him. Because when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, man, that's serious. That's serious. And he's going to say it to people that said, I cast out demons in your name. And he's going to say, I never knew you. You used my name, but I didn't know you. Because you wouldn't do what I asked you to do. It's pretty serious, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the cool part about this whole message. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember how we say out of Hebrews 11:6 that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him?
Yeah.
Nobody can judge your diligence but you and God. Nobody can judge your honesty but you and God. Nobody can judge your leadership by the Holy Spirit but you and God. Now you come to me and say, Pastor, what about this, 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 and this? I think I might go do this. I'm going to say to you, hey, well, have you thought about this, 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 and this? And in the counsel of your spiritual leadership, there is great wisdom. I text Dr. Barclay today. I laid out a text. I said, Pastor, I got this, 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 and this. What? He sent a text back and said, bam, bam. In two statements, he fixed about 17 statements. Why? He's anointed to be that voice in my life. And I thank God for him. And I trust him. He doesn't tell me what to do every day. He's never once sent me a statement and said, preach this in your pulpit next week. He doesn't do that. His statement is, what I'm doing in Midland may not work in Williston. You gotta hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. But when it comes down to the serious parts of life, then he, as my shepherd, is going to have heard from God. And I trust it. I've called him at times and said, Pastor, I got to have some direction. I'm going to start fasting. And sometimes he'll say, I'll fast with you. Other times you can just tell he's already fasting. And we pray, and I don't hear anything from for 2, 3, 4 days. And then he comes back, and there's the statement. And God spoke it to me in prayer, and God spoke it to him in prayer. Laid it right out, right where it's at. Why? It's called the body of Christ, and there is no schism in the body.
Yeah, and you can't be wasting a lot of time and focus on people that don't want God. Keep your focus on the people that want to know him.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't chase anyone down and try to convince them that they needed to follow him.
Yep.
They all came to him or they didn't get him.
Nope, Jesus never chased anybody down. They either came to him because they wanted him or they didn't get him. A lot of people were in the crowd, 20,000 people strong, probably most of the time. But not everybody wanted to be committed. And in one day, 500 of them left him and never followed him anymore. And he turned and looked at the disciples and said, you guys going too? And Peter's like, oh, excuse me. I don't know where all them people went, but you have the words of life and I'm sticking with you. What if we miss what he wants us to do? There's nothing you can do about it if you missed it. If you miss God, you miss God. You can't change what you've already done. That's why it's so important to stay in the book and pray in the Spirit. Because praying in the Spirit will keep you in the path. Staying in the book will keep you biblically sound and doctrinally strong. And then like you here, just plug in, hook up, and watch God change your life as you and I. This study of the body of Christ. Let's grab one more set of verses. John chapter 17. Brother Roger, this is not 4 more hours, but we are close tonight. John chapter 17, verse 20. And that goes down through 26. What I love about the Holy Spirit and about Jesus, all we've got to do. Mary, there's only one way you're going to learn, and that is listen to your Father every day. That's why it's important that you no longer see him as a God and a judge in the sky. Everybody's going to miss it because of your own passions, your own desire, your own zeal. And it's just learning to walk in the Spirit is what it's all about. And you just walk, and if you miss it, he'll show you. And just say, I repent, turn back the right way, and just keep walking with God. Because he's not in heaven with a club. He is a father that is guiding you every step of the way. When we get that statement truly, we will have less and less, fewer and fewer times where we look at our life and say, wow, we missed it right there. Because the Holy Spirit is every second, every minute close. He's not far away. When you and I begin to say it's hard to hear your voice, that's because we've allowed something to come in and cloud it. And you can't do that. John 17:20, I do not pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in me through their word. Well, that's you and I. We're in verse 20. We're those who believe through the apostles' words. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you. We get to be one just like Jesus was one with the Father. That ought to make you shout at least one hallelujah right there. Hallelujah! That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Look at verse 22. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Jesus has given you and I the glory that the Father gave him. Read the verse. And the glory which you gave me, I, Jesus, have given them. The them is you and me. The glory that God gave Jesus, Jesus has given to you and me. Wow. 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 That they may be one, just as we are one. Every one of us believed that Jesus was one with the Father. I in them, Jesus in us, Father in Jesus, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So the Father loves us as much as he loved Jesus. We are one with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You might say, Pastor, there's so much glory here. I'm ready to be raptured. Yeah, don't be raptured, though. Stay with us because we got to reach more people. Sadly, I believe I missed a few clues in life, although I'm pleased with the fact he doesn't give up on me. Yeah, and Mary, you're the only one that remembers that because he doesn't remember it. You're the one that keeps bringing it up. He doesn't. He's thrown it in the sea of his forgetfulness. There's nothing you can do except repent and say, Father, forgive me. I'll never walk another step out of your will another day in my life. You just keep making that statement. I delight to do thy will. I know you are leading me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And I will not go astray. You can't change yesterday. The more you think about it, the more you damage your today when you dwell in yesterday. What are you going to do? God doesn't allow anybody to do do-overs. He just gives you the best opportunity from this day forward to walk with him. If you've repented, if you've confessed and repented the sin, called on the blood of Jesus, it's done. Move on. Forget it. Because he did. And if he is your father and you are made in his image, if he can choose to forget, then you and I can choose to forget. It's just a choice. Because he made the choice. And I'm just like him. 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you give me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Say it with me. I am the body of Christ. As you can see, this is a huge doctrine of the New Testament. Well, how you doing, 92nd lady? I haven't heard you in a while. Call you blessed. This is a huge doctrine of the church. Isn't it something that the enemy has opposed this doctrine by simply saying to people, there's only one thing that's important, and that is just get saved, and that's all that's important in your Christian life. The enemy has pumped that doctrine in churches that says the only thing you got to do is get born again. The enemy pumped that doctrine. Because it's not true. Being born again is the first step you take in this. And when they say the only thing you got to do is just get born again, everything will be all right after that. No, how many of you noticed that when you got born again, all hell broke loose? Why? You are now out of his kingdom, and you're now into the kingdom of light, and he don't like that anymore. Because now if you get trained and developed and built up and established, you're going to be an absolute warrior against him and crush him everywhere you go all the time. And he's not going to just lose you. He's going to lose everybody that you can influence in any way you can influence them. God is the most loving being there has ever been. And he knows our heart. Whether we're hard-hearted or whether we're soft-hearted, whether we love him with all of our heart or we're just using him to get a position somewhere so somebody will look at us. Humility is before honor. And Jesus said, how can you have something of your own unless you've first been faithful over something of somebody else's? Powerful revelations in the holy word of God. Well, Brother Roger, you didn't get 4 hours, but it is time to be closing and receive communion. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for Dr. Hilton Sutton. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for this great man of God. Thank you that we had the opportunity to meet him and receive from his great ministry. Thank you for these words tonight. Not words rebuking somebody because they taught a bad doctrine. Words that say, wait, look at what the Bible actually says so you can believe right. And oh, the glory of realizing that we are your body, Jesus. We literally get to be the fullness of God on the earth with you. Wow. Wow. That there'll never be another day of false doctrine we ever believe or erroneous teaching, because you'll keep us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your leadership every day. Thank you that we get to walk in the paths of righteousness because you made us into righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Sister Ann has now added the verses of Scripture into the family thread, and right here, you'll be able to find them. For those of you that are new, you'll be able to find them, and they'll be a blessing to you so you can go through and study them some more. There's so much to this study. I'm sure he's going to lead us into more of it and more understanding of it as we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, the blood, the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 28, let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself to see if he's in the Lord. And then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Love it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, here's our verse. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. There is no fear in love. In Jesus, mighty name. The assignment that Paul gave us was that we would judge ourselves so that we would not be judged. And when he said, examine yourself, that means, have I sinned? Have I got a heart of unforgiveness towards someone? Am I being angry or hatred? He'll let you know. Holy Spirit has no trouble letting you know what it is you've got to do. And if something, then right now, as we pray this prayer, make sure you clear it up on the inside of your heart and you keep your heart right with God no matter what anybody else anywhere does. I've known lots of people who said, well, my kids aren't following God, so I'm not going to follow him either because I just want to be with my kids. Eternity is forever and you will not be with them. Be righteous. Be holy. And they'll come to where you are because they'll want the beautiful you that you've become. Ready? Everybody pray this prayer. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you pray this prayer with me right now, you'll be born again in 60 seconds and right with God. Ready? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know.
And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you give me everlasting life, and I will not perish. And I thank you for it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And I receive you into my life right now.
And I receive you into my life right now.
Filling every part of me.
Filling every part of me.
Forgive me of my sin, Lord.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
I am now white as snow.
Fill
me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand.
Pray in my heavenly life.
Pray in my heavenly life.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus'
name. Amen. And amen. And amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. This is who we are and this is what we look like. We're quite a bunch around here, this community of faith from all over the world. And you just became one of us. In that prayer, you went from darkness into light. You went because God just filled you, and Jesus is the light of the world. You went from fear to faith. Fear because you've been in sin, and sin brings death, so you're afraid. And life into faith because Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, filled you. That's what you was experiencing on the inside. It's like, wow, something's going on in me. Yeah, it's Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, filling you. You went from your sin, which you can't beat. Nobody can. Nobody has the ability to beat it in their own strength. You went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness. And his righteousness is so pure that everyone in the whole world can have a portion of it and never use it up. And it's called the righteousness of faith. And he made you righteous when you accepted it. Wow. And all of that in one prayer. The Father looked over at Jesus and said, adopt him into the body of Christ. And he's just now adopted you in. And you are now heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. Absolutely everything about your life just changed. You now have the DNA of God. It's inside of you. You got a DNA change, not just a name change from being adopted. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, Jason Jackson. Love you, brother. Good to see you, man. Now watch this. All of that just happened in that one prayer. And now the answer for the rest of your life is to walk with God, your Father, every day. Pastor, I don't know if I can be one of you Christians. There's some stuff, man. Listen, don't worry about being a Christian. Just walk with God every single day of your life. And I guarantee you, if you just walk with him and you just pray that prayer, Father, help me walk with you today. He will. There'll be some days of trial and test from the enemy, but you will walk with God through it because he now lives in you. He's not in heaven trying to come down upon you. He's in you. Moving out this way from inside out. And he gave you to us, and we will help you walk with God. Put my email address and website in there, and you can build to have an address of a preacher and say, can you help me walk with God? Yeah. You call me, text me, let me know what you got going on, and I'll send you some videos, YouTube videos. They're easy for anybody to click on that will help you be established in the things of God. So then you can do and walk just like he's walking. And then most of all, come back here and hang out with us. We're here Monday through Saturday, every night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 6 Mountains, 5 Pacific. And we don't know about you guys floating around in the ocean. But you know what? We sure love all our friends in Samoa. Bless you, Elaine. We love all our friends in Pakistan, Brother Tanbir, Sister Nasim and the kids. We love all you in Malaysia, Julian and Bamala, Sister Mary Fernandez over there in Singapore. Woo! It's amazing what God does. Europe and Asia and Russia. God bless you, Russians. Have you with us. And you Africans. We love you too. In the mighty name of Jesus. Well, I've gone to preaching, and it's not time to preach. It's time to receive communion. Grab you some communion elements. And we'll receive our communion right here together. in Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Just click pause on that video or just grab your phone and run into the kitchen. Get you some bread and water if you don't have juice. I like doing grape juice because Jesus did the fruit of the vine. And if you're asking about my solo cup, that's because I prayed for God to put a communion cup in every store just in case I needed one. And so solo made me the perfect cup. Though your sins are red like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus in the middle of it. Woo! Pray this with me. I bless these elements.
I bless these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
Hold on, I'm going to slow down. Because if the Zoomers want to join, you're welcome. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supply.
Every joint supply.
In my body.
In my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ and my community.
In the body of Christ and my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. She endured the cross. Despising the shame. You called it all joy to rescue me. We lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
Now listen. Listen to everything the blood of Jesus does in your life. All Bible. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation with my Father.
I have reconciliation.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
I come boldly to the throne room.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony. I overcome by the blood of Jesus. Every plague has to pass over
and
cannot be on me or my family.
My
conscience is purged. My robes are made white. I will always be the glorious church. Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me.
You come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. Amen, brother. Good to see you. I could use water, and you just said, and it was, okay. Well, you know, I encourage you to get grape juice, because that's what Jesus did. He had the fruit of the vine. And people are like, well, Pastor, it don't make any difference. No, God's very serious about order. He's very serious about order. You can slop around in the kingdom if you want, but the more order you get, the more excellence comes, and the more of God's blessing shows up. It wasn't until the priest and everybody was in absolute order in Solomon's court that the Queen of Sheba fainted when she saw the order. God wants order. And the more order we give it, the more blessed our life is. Let's sing a song. Let's sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Woo!
Hallelujah. You know, for some of you newbies, 3 hours and 15, 20 minutes, that's like, wow, we're kicking it tonight. This used to be what happened every night when we first started.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours, 4 hours. One night we went 5 hours. One night we went 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And we loved every minute of it. Just kept going in God. And, you know, those of you that are new, got over 600 videos that we've already made. It's available for you to watch and study and learn. You tell me what's going on in your life, and I'll send you to a group of videos that'll be a blessing to you. We're working on our website, getting it all organized, so you can just go to the website and be able to click on links and find all of this effective. If you're somebody that has some time in your life and you're willing to help us get some things done, I'll tell you what. We got a lot of work to get done. Get it all organized. But God's helping us every day. And we thank you for being a part of what we did. Isn't this a wonderful word tonight about the body of Christ? The bride of Christ. It's real easy. The Bible lays it right out exactly what it says. But most of all, that's revelation that I am the body of Christ. And what I do and how I act is an example of who God is. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Roger made a new account that has yellow belt in it. Roger yellow belt. That's just so that the more Facebook chases him, he's got an account that they can do anything to him if he wants, and it won't have any effect on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that was him,
Mary. Yeah.
Not a spammer.
Yeah. Now, remember, we're going to be live in just about another 45 minutes on Read the Word on YouTube. That's going to take about 35 minutes tonight. We're going to receive communion together with people there so that all of our Read the Word family can receive communion with us. They've been with us now for 50 days. There's about 25 of them, 30 of them. Let me say it differently. There's about 1,000 of them. That's what we're asking for.
Amen.
All right. And it's a powerful program, and we want you to be a part of it. We shared earlier in the program the playlist that it is, so that you can, if you've not been a part of it, you can go right there, grab that playlist. Let me just grab it one more time. This will help you get caught up. That is the playlist of all of our YouTube videos on Read the Word from Genesis to where we are right now. About 25 minutes a day, and we're going to read through the Bible chronologically, and we want you to. Lampstands must hold fast. Amen. They rattle as the Spirit of God as he approaches to minister. Amen, bro. It's good to have you with us tonight, Jason. Jason's, thank you for your service to our great nation, brother. I don't know if I ever said it publicly, but mighty man of God right here. Mighty, mighty, mighty man of God. We appreciate you stopping on by. All of you that are new, make sure you click like or love so we know who you are. Make sure you hit the bell. Click subscribe so that you know when we come live, and it'll be a blessing to you. Any way we can help you walk with God, remember, that's what we're all about. This is the community of faith. And our program's called Establishing Your Faith. And our boss is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we're all growing together in faith. He does teach a new song. I love new songs. I sang a new song the other day for 20 minutes. The harvest is here. The harvest is here. Don't say it's time to wait. The harvest is here. Run and jump and shout today. The harvest is here. The harvest is here. It's time to go out and get in a John Deere. That's literally in the song. The harvest is here. It was a new song. Even praise to my God. Well, we'll see you in about 45 minutes on Read the Word. And if not, we'll see you tomorrow at noon Eastern for 1 hour of faith. Most of all, know this, that we love you. Sister Phyllis, it's about time for you to be back off that cruise so you can read your closing verse for us. But that's all right. I'll read it. Jude verse 24. Wait a minute. Who we got in the live Zoom audience? Maybe one of them should read it. I've been reading all night. Nope. They're hanging up real quick when that happens. Be listening on the side, man. All right. Here we go. Jude verse 24. Not a hymn of the able to keep you from stumbling. I love that. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I like that. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Now, guys, if you see me and I'm looking kind of like this, I got a glare off the light and my page ain't showing up right. And you got to kind of get at a little different angle, but it's all right. It's just us. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And amen. Till we see you again, is what we say. Remember this. We love you. God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. See you soon.